Well, welcome everybody. Glad that you're here. All of our campuses, those of you who may be watching on the podcast or watching off the website, we're glad that you're here. God's going to speak with us and meet with us in this place today. He's already done that as we've been worshiping. If you have your Bible, I want to ask you to turn to the Gospel of Luke today. Take out your Bible, turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2 as we continue to talk about this idea of a Christmas list. The idea for this sermon series came from just contemplating, you know, how do you preach the same story a different way? But I was thinking about my family and how we have a list of people that we are going to buy gifts for. And then out beside their names, we kind of have an idea of something that we would like to get them. And so it occurred to me, is Jesus on our Christmas list? Is Jesus on your Christmas list? Of all the people that you intend to give a gift to this Christmas, is Jesus one of them? And if you are going to give something to Jesus this Christmas, what would you give him? I mean, talk about the guy who literally has everything, right? I mean, what in the world would Jesus even want or need from you? And yet, I think there are some things that we see in the Christmas story that Jesus really does want you to give him this Christmas, okay? We learned in the first week from the story of Joseph. Remember, Joseph was got some news about Mary. She's pregnant. They're not yet fully married. They haven't consummated their marriage, and she's pregnant, and he can't take it. So his intent is to send her away kind of graciously, but he's moving on with his life. And yet the angel of the Lord comes and says, Joseph, marry her. This is God's doing. And so it was as if Jesus was saying, give me your uncertain future, right? There are a lot of us that have our own plans for our life. You've got plans and designs of what you think you want to do. And yet God is saying, give that to me. Give me your uncertain future and trust my way to be better than your way, okay? Then last week, we learned from three people in Luke's first chapter that had questions. They needed some help with stuff they were wrestling with, whether it was the existence of God or the reality of Jesus or just questions in their own minds about, God, how could that be or how could that happen? I need assurance, right? Jesus says, bring me those two. I'd like to have all your questions and your doubts. Don't be afraid. Speak them to me. Trust me. Search for me. I'm going to help you with that. Okay? Now, today in Luke 2, we're going to learn from the shepherds. All right? Y'all may remember the story of the shepherds. We're going to learn today from them that they gave God something too, and what they gave to God was their voices. These men are going to give to God their voices, and God is going to use them. Now, just about everybody has a voice, and some people have very booming, recognizable voices that we could envy. Think James Earl Jones, right? He has a very recognizable voice that many people would like to have. But some people have very annoying voices, think Pee Wee Herman, that nobody wants to have, right? You don't really want to talk like that guy, like that girl. Many people today are using their voices. We're saying, hey, I'm raising my voice in the fight against terror. There is a saying that we're using now that is, if you see something, say something, right? Use your voice. If you see something, say something. People today are using their voices in protest or to raise awareness of worthy causes. Me Too, Occupy Wall Street, Black Lives Matter, wearing pink for breast cancer awareness, putting an X on your hand for the In It to End It campaign. Even we as a church family have raised our collective voice over the past few weeks to share the love of Christ with nearly 19,000 inmates in the prison system across Mississippi so far. And the overwhelming response to that, by and large, has been an overwhelming graciousness and gratitude from every life that we have touched. Now, the reality is a few people who are in church with us today listening right now, you have a big voice. And by big voice, I'm not talking about your tone. I'm talking about by either your accomplishment or your position, you have influence. You have a voice, right? And not everybody has a voice like yours, but you have a voice. And so I want to ask you, if you're one of those people with a big voice, with a big platform, what are you using your voice to do? What message are you using your voice to speak? Any message? If you are using it for a message, is it a message that is worthy and eternal and God-honoring? God wants you to use your voice. But not very many people have that kind of platform, but everybody has a voice. Everybody does. You're thinking, I don't have a voice. Well, yes, you do. Even if you think your voice is small, God can still use your voice. The shepherds in Luke chapter 2 in their culture had a very small voice. Theirs was the lowest occupation. These guys were considered ceremonially unclean by the Jewish people, so they couldn't go to church. They were not allowed to testify in court. I don't know why, but just historians tell us that shepherds could not testify. Maybe they were poor and subjected to being bribed. I don't know what it was. But these guys were looked down upon. It didn't take a real high IQ to be a shepherd, right? You just kind of walk the sheep to this field, and then you walk the sheep over to the next field. These guys were really looked down on, and yet Jesus gives a voice to what many would consider the voiceless. That's what Luke's gospel really does. It shows how Jesus elevated the oppressed and the overlooked and gave them a voice. Even the place that Jesus is born is a small, small town. Bethlehem, Micah 5:2 says, "But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah. From you one will go forth for me to be a ruler in Israel. His going forths are from long ago, from days of eternity." Let me tell you what that means. It means that on the map of Israel, Bethlehem didn't even get a dot. Right? Now, some of y'all raised in towns like that, right? Like Ware, Mississippi, right? Hot Coffee, Mississippi, right? Midnight, Mississippi. Places that you know it's a community, but it's really be hard to say, oh, well, that's on the map. It'd have to be a really detailed map. Bethlehem's like that. It's a very small place, and yet God says, I'm going to elevate that place. What I want to say to you right now is that you have a voice. No matter how insignificant you think you might be because of your age, because of your failures, because of your status, whatever it is, no matter how much other people have filled your head with the lie that you don't count and you don't matter and you have no say, Jesus says to you today, like the shepherds, you are not forgotten, you matter, and you have a voice. And so I want you, even right now, to your own self, would you declare, I have a voice. I have a voice, and it may not be the biggest voice, but I have a voice. The shepherds gave their voices to God. They shared the good news that they received, and God wants you to give him your voice this Christmas too. It's what he wants on his Christmas list. So let's look at the story and see how the shepherds give their voices to God, and I'm going to give you three ways that God wants to use your voice as you give it to him this Christmas, okay? Fair enough? Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, you're going to give your voice to God today. Luke 2, beginning in verse 8, this is how the scripture reads. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people." That's awesome. That this message is going to give joy to everybody. "For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. And this is going to be a sign for you. You're going to find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. Suddenly, there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Now when the angels had gone away from them back into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry, and they found their way to Mary and Joseph." That word "found" means they actually, fellas, if you can believe this, they stopped and asked for directions. They found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known, they're using their voices, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. But the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. God wants you to give him your voice. And he wants you to give him your voice today so that you can worship. Give God your voice to worship. Verse 13 and 14 says that the angel is speaking and then a host of angels appear in verse 13. And I just want to point out to you that when it says the heavenly host showed up, don't think people dressed in, you know, fine white linen, you know, gowns with a halo over their head. The word host means soldier or warrior. Okay? I don't want you to ever mistakenly think that God is soft. God is not soft. If he wants to, he can annihilate us all in a moment. Jesus said, if I wanted to, I could have 10,000 angels just come on down and take care of business. Okay, so please, fellas, please, don't ever make the mistake of thinking that Jesus is a soft dude. He is a meek man, but he is not a weak man. And so these heavenly hosts are scaring the you-know-what out of these shepherds who are used to fighting lions and bears. Come on, feel me for a minute. These men who are out in the field all the time, who are protecting their flock, all of a sudden they're scared because these dudes, these guys that are falling out of heaven like stars are scared. They are intimidating. They're intimidating. Now, what are these angels doing? What does verse 13 and 14 say? It says they're praising God and they're saying glory to God in the highest. They're praising and glorifying God. Now, here's what I want you to see. Watch this. Where are these angels from? If anybody knows where they're from, just say it out loud. Where are they from? Heaven, thank God. Two of y'all know. Two people in all of Pine Lake Church know that the angels, the heavenly host, came from heaven, right? Just read the Bible. It's amazing, right? The heavenly host come down out of heaven. They're going to go back to heaven. But check this out. They're praising God. They're glorifying God. Why? Because in heaven, they've seen stuff. In the heavenly realm, they've experienced stuff. So what they're doing on the earth is they're just testifying and declaring what they have been seeing and experiencing in heaven and that God is now doing on the earth. Their worship, their praising and glorifying God flowed out of their experience of God in the heavenly realm. Okay, now check this out. Go to verse 20 now. Look at verse 20 because it says the shepherds go back glorifying and praising God. It's an amazing thing. Those are the exact same words used in verses 13 and 14 of the angels. That what the angels were doing based off what they had experienced about God, the shepherds are now doing because they too have seen and heard the angels from heaven. They go and behold the Christ child. And out of their encounter with God, check this, out of the overflow of the encounter with God, they too give praise and glory to God. Which leads me to say, if you don't get worship, if you don't sing, if you don't find yourself at times spontaneously on your own just saying, God, thank you, bless you, praise you. If you don't get worship, you might not know God. Matter of fact, you probably don't know God. Because the indication is when you experience God, when you get to know him, what flows out of you is praise and glory to God. Now, it looks different for different people, but I'm just saying if there is no worship in your life, the chances are The example of the scripture is there probably is not any God in your life. And I'm not saying that to shame you. I'm not saying that to make you mad. I'm saying that to say, man, you need to know him. You need to know him. He's good. He is gracious. He brings joy and peace. Okay? So the shepherds and the angels are praising God. This idea of praise and worship is a theme in Luke. I'll walk you kind of through the gospel and show you how when people encountered Jesus, their response to him many times was to praise and glorify God. There's a paralytic who was laid on a mat and his friends couldn't get him into Jesus. Remember, so they dug a hole in the roof and dropped him down. And the Bible says Jesus not only forgave his sins, but healed him. And the Bible says the man got up and he walked out glorifying God and saying, God has visited us. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus was encountering a funeral procession, a widow whose only son had died. This woman was alone and lonely and had nothing, and she was broken. And Jesus stopped the funeral procession. He raised the boy back to life, gave him back to his mother. And the Bible says that the people were glorifying God. Everybody was glorifying God. Luke 13, there was a woman who, because of a spiritual attack on her, had been sick. She had back problems. She was bent over for 20 years. Sin and sickness don't always go together, but sometimes they do. And in this case, this was an example of where her sinfulness led to an oppressive thing that just wore her down literally, physically. And Jesus, in a word, cast out the demon and healed her. And when he did, the Bible says she began to glorify God. Same word. Another day, Luke 17 says 10 men were lepers and Jesus healed them. And one came back and he was glorifying God. Luke 18 says a blind man was begging Jesus, please, please, please give me my sight. And guess what? Jesus Jesus said, according to your faith, you will be healed. And immediately he regained his sight and he began following him, glorifying God. And when all the people saw it, they gave praise to God. Even in Luke 23, there was a Roman centurion who watched how Jesus died. And the Bible says when he saw how this man died, he began glorifying God and saying, this man was truly an innocent man. Okay, so here's what I want you to see. That all through the scripture, when people encounter the goodness and the power of Jesus, their response is to worship, to lift their voices and say, praise be to God. Would you give God your voice this Christmas? Worship reflects your heart. Your mouth will speak out of the overflow of your heart. That's what I'm saying to you, that your worshipful words and your songs reflect that you've got a heart that has been and a light that has been touched by Jesus and is being filled with the Holy Spirit. Worship reflects your heart. But watch this. Worship can also shape your heart. It will reflect your heart, but it will shape your heart. It can change the way you're thinking. It can change your outlook. It can give you a different perspective. A couple of weeks ago when Chuck was teaching the first lesson in his Christmas list series, Jody Smells, our campus pastor in Oxford, asked if I would host that day in Oxford because he was feeling a little under the weather and couldn't talk. Now, I'm convinced that Jody just wanted me to show up in Oxford for the first time after the Egg Bowl. I'm convinced that's exactly what it was, because when I got there, he could talk perfectly, right? He baptized that day, but I went to Oxford. So I got up on a Sunday morning. I've got a couple of hours drive plus up there, and so I have a choice. I can listen to, you know, country music, or I can listen to stuff that's just on my Apple Music. Or I could choose to listen to worship music. Now, I chose to listen to worship music. Don't think I'm all that spiritual. I had to make the choice to do it, right? I made the choice that for that period of time, I was just going to kind of get my mind ready for the day. And so I was listening. And by the time I got up past Canton and up around Holmes County, I started singing a little bit. By the time I got up to Winona, I was really singing. And when I got to Grenada, I had my knees on the wheel, and I was singing with my eyes closed, just going down the road. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, the longer I went, the more that I was around the music, the more it began to fill my head, it filled my heart, and all of a sudden, I'm worshiping. By the time I got off the interstate in Batesville and got to Oxford, man, I was lit. I was ready to go. I'm good to go. I'm spiritually speaking, God had done something in me. That's why the Bible says, don't get drunk with wine, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now listen, here's what I want to say to you, that your worship in these next few days, if you'll just worship God, even if you don't feel it, even if life is bad, even if it stinks on the outside, if you will give yourself to worship, worship can shape your heart. Worship can give you hope and strength and faith and love. So I want to ask you, in the next 8 days, would you do two things? Number one, would you come to church next Sunday? Right? Would you come to church next Sunday? I appreciate, you know, that's Christmas Eve now. I mean, I don't know about that. We got this and we got that. I know you got a lot of things, bro. I know. I get it. Me too. I'm just asking you, would you take 1 hour and a half? And would you either come to this church, or if you're out of town, would you go to another church? Or would you tune into the live stream at 11 o'clock? And would you make it a priority? Fellas, I'm asking you. I'm asking you men to make it a priority that for you and your family, you tell everybody else, look, whatever y'all got to do, we're going to church on Sunday. We're going to give God our voice. Use your voice to lead well. If you're a single mom, you use your voice to lead that family well. Say, we'll open in presents. We'll deal with y'all later. We're going to church today. Okay, you got, that's number one. Number two is, for 8 days, would you let your phone be set, your playlist be set in your car, in your house, on your commute, while you're studying for your exams if you're still in high school, the background music for your Christmas party, would you let it be worship music? I'm not against other kind of music. I'm just saying that something happens that shapes our hearts when we're listening to the praise and glory of God. Okay? Use your voice to worship. That's number one. Number two, for if you're a note taker, use your voice to encourage other people. Give God your voice to be an encouragement to other people. The word encouragement means the act of giving someone support or confidence or hope. Encouragement is persuasion. You're trying to persuade somebody to do or to continue something. It's the act of trying to stimulate the development of an activity, state, or belief. That's the dictionary definition. Now, the shepherds encourage one another. Isn't that what they said? Around verse 14, 15, they said, hey, to one another, let's go see this thing. And you can use your voice to encourage people. Hey, man, let's walk this out. Come on, let's do this thing. Let's do what God is asking us to do. You can use your voice to encourage people who are on the right path to stay on the right path. But the Bible says they also encouraged not just each other, but they encouraged, I believe, Mary and Joseph. And I think they encouraged Joseph more than Mary. I can't prove that, but I can tell you what I'm thinking. This is my human nature coming out in this particular thing. But Mary knows. In the Christmas story, Mary knows this baby belongs to God. This is a miracle. But fellas, come on. Let's get in Joseph's head for a second. Your fiance is pregnant, and she swears to God that it's God's baby. And as much as you want to believe it, come on, I'm looking at some of y'all I know. I know some of y'all in Clinton and Starkville. Y'all know y'all be doing the same thing I'd be thinking. Am I an idiot? Am I a fool? Is she playing me? She been messing around on me and now trying to play it off like it's a spiritual thing. Every time he saw some guys, some buddies whispering over there on the side, you know he's thinking they're talking about me. Can anybody, you fellas, you know what I'm talking about? So I think that when the shepherds show up and these dirty old men, literally, show up and want to touch the baby, Mary's like, please don't. But when they tell their story and they say, the angel said, this is God's child, I believe Joseph breathed a sigh of relief and said, thank God. And it just gave him encouragement that he wasn't foolish and he wasn't stupid for doing this thing that God had led him to do. Now, I think God wants you to use your voice to build up and encourage people this Christmas. I'm not talking about saying, oh, that guacamole was awesome. Girl, your haircut's so cute. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? That's nice, but that's not what we're talking about. Breathing spiritual energy into a person. The Bible says this in 1 Thessalonians 5:14. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Would you be on the lookout for someone you know that their life is hard? They're in this crazy season of difficulty. Maybe the first Christmas alone or the first Christmas without someone or something. Maybe they're unemployed or battling sickness or struggling in a spiritual battle. You encourage them. You use your voice to lift them up. It's a part of Love First. I went to Central Mississippi Correctional Facility this past Friday. Friday was my 27th wedding anniversary. Been married 27 years. How about that? Yeah. I say that not so that you will applaud that. I say that so that you'll know I took my wife to prison on our anniversary. That's just the way I like to get down, you know? Thought maybe we'd go a special place. Right? So we showed up at the prison. And the deal is we have these packets that you guys so unbelievably have provided for and put together. And for the most part, we're walking to a large degree. We would walk into these big open rooms with a lot of bunk beds. And so we would actually physically hand the gift to the prisoner. And we could say things to them and kind of have some interaction with them. And it was really pretty cool. But then right before we were leaving, we went to a little bit more difficult area where in kind of a round room that sounded and felt very much just like steel and blocks. And we couldn't give the gift to the inmate. The inmate was actually, all of them, two floors, were locked behind their steel doors with just a little bitty glass that we could look in at and a lot of wire mesh on that glass. And we had to lay the gift at the door, but we could speak to the inmate. We could see them, and they were in there most of the time by themselves. We could speak to them, see them, and we would have to speak to them through the crack in the door. And we would say to them, God loves you, man. Jesus is for you. We hadn't forgot you. Merry Christmas to you. And then through that crack in the door, they would say back, Merry Christmas, man. God bless you. Merry Christmas. And their breath would come through the door, and it smelled bad, but it wasn't that. There was a connection. There was a person on the other side of that door. So we placed the bags and spoke to all the people at each of those doors, and then it was time to leave. And so we would be walking out of this almost like a theater with two rows of these guys just looking through those little glasses. And we'd say, God bless you guys. God bless you, man. We haven't forgot about you. And they would be yelling, God bless you, man. Merry Christmas. God bless you, man. Thank you, man. Can I tell you, I'd like to think that we helped them and encouraged them when we went. But I know I walked away from those men encouraged because they genuinely seemed thankful. And I want to say to you, whether you're a preacher or a prisoner, you have a voice. And you can encourage somebody. You encourage them. You speak words that will be spiritually building them up. Okay, you want to speak words that will build them up spiritually. And can I just say to you that sometimes people need words to build them up spiritually when they're at their lowest and worst moment. So don't just try to encourage people who got it all together. Maybe you would encourage someone spiritually whose life has fallen apart. But you persuade them to do and to continue. You stimulate them to action and belief. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no unwholesome word, a word that brings down and tears up and rots, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it'll give grace to those who hear. Before you speak a word, would you ask yourself, does this build up? Is this necessary? And does this give grace? You want to build people up spiritually and you want to lift them up emotionally. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down. How many of you know that's true? It'll weigh you down. But a good word makes it glad. That anxiety can be filling a person's heart, but a good word, an encouraging word, can bring joy and gladness, even if the circumstances haven't changed. I saw a friend of mine's Instagram post recently. She posted a letter from, I think, her fifth grader. I think Fletcher's in the fifth grade. I don't know if you can read this letter, but it says, I hope you don't have any more stress. I know you are the only mom at home when dad's at work. And I know we are giving you a lot of stress, but be happy. And in the bottom part, it says, don't be blue. And he made a blue dot. I asked her, did it work? She said, yes. Look, kids, y'all can be giving your mama and your daddy a real headache, but you need to encourage them. You're the best mama. You're the best dad. Thank you. You speak words that will emotionally lift them. Here are the three rules for giving encouragement, okay? Here are the three rules for you. Number one, be prayerful. You can't just tell everybody encouraging words, but I want to ask you, would you be prayerful? God, would you show me who needs to hear this word? Who can I encourage? Ask God to show you. Secondly, be timely. Because when God prompts you, that's the time. That's the time to send the text, to make the call, to speak the word. Don't wait, don't argue, because you'll miss the moment. You don't know what's happening in their world. Trust the prompting of the Holy Spirit of God. Speak it in that moment. Go with it. Be prayerful, be timely, be specific. What I mean by be specific is don't say, hey, man, you're awesome. Well, what does that mean exactly? I mean, that's nice. But let me tell you what's more powerful than you're awesome. Hey, man, the way you handled that situation whenever the boss was coming down on everybody and the grace you showed, man, that was honoring to God. I want you to know that was strong, bro. Girl, the way you handled that situation with her was amazing. I could tell the Holy Spirit was just on you. Do you understand the difference between saying you're awesome and picking parts about a person or their character or their behavior that says God's in you? God's in you. Use your voice to worship. Use your voice to encourage. Thirdly, finally, use your voice to share the good news. Use your voice to give the greatest gift possible, and that is the good news of Jesus. The shepherds were the first people to be what we would call evangelized. When the angel said, I bring you good news, in the Greek text, it's the word euangelion. It's where we get the word evangelism. They were the first people to be evangelized. The angel said, I'm bringing you great news. A Savior, Christ the Lord, has been born. A Savior. God didn't send a judge to judge you. He didn't send a banker to bail you out. He didn't send a politician to smooth talk or pass more laws. You didn't need those things. What you needed was somebody to pay for your sins, so he sent a Savior. And that Savior forgives your sins and gives you life That's who Jesus is. That's what we're celebrating. He is Christ. Christ is the anointed one, the one that the Israelites were looking for, who would be their hope and their deliverer. Can I just say, Jesus is your hope and your deliverer, delivering you from yourself, delivering you from the stronghold of the enemy, and giving you hope for today and for heaven. He's the Lord. He conquered death and the grave. He conquered Satan. Now he rules and reigns. He has now placed you into his kingdom of love and grace and power and authority. He is Lord of all. And that's who your Savior is. That's who we're celebrating. And when you know Jesus Christ, the Lord, it gives you peace and joy. Peace on earth. Joy to all men and women everywhere who would know him. Now these shepherds received that good news and said, yes. They were the first to be evangelized. And guess what? They became the first to actually evangelize. They then took that message with them. And they went searching for this Christ child. And they began to share with people. This is what we've heard about this child. Praising and glorifying God. They go back to work. Praising and glorifying God. Telling people what they've seen and heard. Now, God wants to use your voice. Every day, not just at church, not just around Christmas time, but he wants you to use your voice every day. He wants you to use your voice specifically, I think, in the next few days to invite somebody to come to church with you. To invite somebody to come to church with you. There was a movie years ago that we watched called Field of Dreams, and the kind of the tagline of that movie, Field of Dreams, was, if you build it, what'll happen? If you build it, they will come. If you build it, they will come. He built it, they came, right? Researchers tell us, Tom Rainer in his book, The Unchurched Next Door, quotes a statistic that says that 82% of your unchurched friends will say yes if you'll ask them to come to church with you. And that number, I would guess, goes up on Easter and Christmas. Now, here's the sad part of that statistic. Rainer also reports that only 2% of Christians ever invite anybody to church. Can I just say to you, give God your voice. Give God your voice. There's somebody you know who needs to come with you next week. They need to be here with you to hear how God wants to exchange gifts. He wants you to give him your sin, and he wants to give you life and righteousness. If you've got a carabiner, if there's somebody you're praying for would come to know Christ, can I tell you that's the first place you ought to start? Invite them. So invite people to come to church. Use your voice that way, but there's another way that you can use your voice, and that is to actually tell somebody this good news about Jesus Christ, the Lord. And you can be creative in how you do that. I had a guy one time named Max Thornhill who had invited me and Christy over for lunch with some people I did not know. And we're sitting there waiting for to be served, and Max asked me a question about Paul being changed on the road to Damascus. And he was blinded by the light, y'all remember. And Jesus said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And then tells him who he is. And then Saul professes, you know, I got it. He goes to Damascus, and then a man comes and prays for him as scales fall from his eyes. Max said, hey, when did he accept Christ? Whenever he trusted Jesus or whenever the scales fell off of his eyes? And I said, well, Max, best I can tell, it's when he accepts Jesus. Now, after lunch was over, Max said, hey, I knew the answer to that question, but none of my friends really know the gospel story, and I just wanted them to overhear us having a conversation about Jesus. Can I just tell you, that was covert, bro. That was covert. That was slick. I know a guy who will find the hardest person to crack at work. And he'll take his Bible to work and he'll go, dude, you're the smartest guy I know. Would you read this verse and tell me what you think it means? I can't figure it out. And he said, no matter what the guy says, he at least has read the Bible. Bro, that's black ops right there, ain't it? I mean, you understand how that can be creative. You can do that. You can find a way out of your personality to do that. It could be just when somebody says to you, how are you doing? You don't say fine. You say, you know what? I am so blessed. Jesus has so blessed me. That's just a word. It could be that whatever somebody says to you, oh my gosh, I got blah, 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 blah. Instead of saying, I'll pray for you, which means I ain't really going to think about you whenever I leave. Come on, y'all, be real with me just for a second. You know you ain't praying about nobody when you say I'll be praying for you. You don't. Quit lying. Best thing I've learned to do is just pray for them right now. When they say that, just say, hey, can I just pray for you just right now? 10 seconds. Jesus, you hear this, you know this, but you're the answer. Pray for them right now. That's it. That's not offensive. You need to learn how to tell your story. You hear somebody talking about how they got done wrong. You hear somebody talking about how they're all tied up in knots about this, that, or the other. You listen for some buzzwords that you can relate to from your story, and you go, you know what? I was just like that a few years ago, but man, Jesus Christ came into my life, and he changed me. And let me tell you, I'm not perfect, but what I'm finding is that Jesus is helping me every day. You can tell your story just like that. But you need to learn how to tell a person what really the good news is. And I think you can do it more quickly than you think, and you don't have to be that smart. How many of y'all would honestly say, okay, every campus, don't tune me out right now, everybody listen. How many of y'all could honestly say with your education level, you feel confident that you could draw three circles? Just raise your hand. Can you draw three circles? All right, some of y'all just will not participate in church, and you're going to hell for it, and I'm trying to keep you from that. Dang! You can draw three circles, right? You can draw three circles. I'm going to draw you three circles, and this is what I want you to... This is what the angels were trying to tell the shepherds and what the shepherds told everybody else. God has a design. And this is Genesis 1 and 2, where God made Adam and Eve, and he placed them in a beautiful place where they had fellowship with him every day. He walked with them and talked with them. They had peace with God and peace with themselves and peace with each other. They knew love. They knew joy. They knew protection. They had purpose. That's the way God wants you to live every day. But Adam and Eve, like you and me, chose to do a very dumb thing, and that's to disobey God. And the Bible just calls that disobedience sin. You miss God. You walk away from God. Selfishly, foolishly, you've done it, I've done it. And it leads us to a second circle, and that's called broken. A life that was meant to be lived with peace and love and joy and purpose now has a hole in it. We're spiritually dead. We're cut off from the one who gives those things. And we search and we try and we look in jobs and kids and possessions and money and drugs and other things. We're trying to find something that will fill us. And alas, nothing works. Nothing satisfies. And we're hopeless, and there is no answer for our brokenness. But on Christmas, we celebrate a third circle, and that is Jesus. God's gift, the Savior, the one who came to pay for your sin and mine, who could heal our brokenness. And actually, by his death, burial, and resurrection, now by his Holy Spirit living in us that he gives, he now restores you and me to God's design. This isn't about heaven one day. It's about heaven now. You get to live with God, perfect peace, joy, love, purpose. Now, that's what God wants to give you right now. And the way you go from brokenness to Jesus is a simple step of faith and repentance. You say, I trust that Jesus is God and he did come. He's Savior, Christ, and Lord. And I am repenting, turning away from my sin and turning to Jesus and trusting that he alone can restore me to what God has for me. And now I live my life trusting him, daily yielding to him. Okay, that took about 3 minutes. So what I want to ask you to do is I want to ask you to get your most crazy cousin that you're worried about. And I want you to say, cuz, sit down at the table with me. My preacher has given me an assignment, and I just want to practice on you before I go do it for real on somebody else. Right? All right? I'm telling you, it's covert stuff, bro. We're going in the back door now. All right? You just say, hey, I want to practice. I'm supposed to be sharing my faith. Can I practice on you? I got to do this three-circle drawing. And you can do that. You can do that. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. He's talking about you. You. You are those things so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and brokenness. And he moved you into the kingdom of his son who restores you. He wants you to use your voice. Would you give him your voice? Give him your voice to worship. Give him your voice to encourage. Give him your voice to share the good news. I was in Walmart yesterday, which is kind of redundant because I go to Walmart every day, like some of y'all. I'm sure I'll be there this afternoon somewhere, some Walmart. I'll need something. But I was in Walmart yesterday and was walking toward the back trying to find some matches. And I was asking a guy, hey, man, where are the matches at? And the lady who goes to church with us, she and her husband were standing there. And she looked at me and she said, Brother Chip, I want to get saved. And I said, babe, ma'am, that is so good. That is awesome. I'm going to call up our worship team. They're going to come sing, and then I'm going to preach, and then you'll be ready to get saved. No, I didn't say that. You ain't going to do that in Walmart. What? You want to get saved now? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, I want to get saved right now. I said, lady, you can get saved right now. I said, can I just ask you a couple of questions? Do you know that God loves you? Do you know that you in disobedience have turned away from him and you deserve death and you're spiritually dead? And do you trust that Jesus paid for your sins by his death, burial, and resurrection, that he conquered death? And that whenever you trust him, he gives his spirit to you. You give your life to him, but he gives you his spirit. He lives with you forever and ever. You believe that? Yes, sir. So well, you can accept Christ right now in Walmart, right here between the diapers and these cookies over here on this side, that thing. You can accept Christ right now if you'll just pray a prayer that reflects that. And that lady with her husband standing right there, she prayed a prayer to just say, Jesus, I need you so much, and I want to know for sure I have you in my life. Forgive me. Come into my life and change me. Right there up in Walmart. But you know what? Yeah. Now, I don't want to act like that happens to me every day. That never happens to me. But it happened yesterday, for real. For real, for real, right? FR. I just want to say to you, that lady used her voice to make the greatest confession anybody could ever make. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's my risen Lord and Savior. And I celebrate in this Christmas. Would you bow your head with me and could we pray? And just a second, we're going to use our voices to praise, to worship. And I pray that it will both reflect and shape your heart, maybe. But before we do that, maybe could you just say to God, I give you my voice. Just tell him, God, I give you my voice. I give you my life, but I give you my voice. And Lord, I want to worship. God, show me who to encourage. God, teach me to tell. I don't want to be ashamed. I don't want to be embarrassed. God, I want to just grow in my confidence to use my voice and tell what I know. Would you do that? I'm just telling you, it's a divine moment right now, right here, you and God. It's what he wants for Christmas. Give him your voice. Give him your voice at home, the way you're going to talk to your mama and your dad, your spouse or your kids. Give him your voice when you go back to school. Give him your voice for work and for the hunting camp and for your bunco group, for your Walmart run. God, I give you my voice. The mouth speaks out of the overflow of the heart, Jesus said. And so would you just invite his Holy Spirit to fill you. Holy Spirit, fill us with your truth, with your love, with your grace, with your hope, with your peace. And if you've never, ever, never, ever accepted Christ, or you don't know for sure that you have a relationship with God, would you use your voice right now to just whisper a prayer that says, Jesus, I need you. I want you to have my life. I need you. I'm sinful and I deserve death and I am dead spiritually. Jesus, you forgive me by your death. You've conquered death. Come into my life. Give me your spirit. You give me you. I give you me. Jesus, I want to live for you. Restore me to you. That simple prayer would let you come to faith and life right here, right here, right now. In just a second, I'm going to close our prayer. And then at every campus, we're going to sing. We're going to sing this song that I love this song. It just says, I will build my life upon God's love. And I'm going to put my trust in it. So we're going to use our voices. Every campus, I want you just to sing this song to God, to use your voice to praise and worship him. Let it be your declaration. While we're doing that, there are going to be people around the room at the front some around the other places of the room. I want you, if you want to be prayed for, listen, where Jesus is, anytime the gospel is proclaimed, Jesus would offer, he would most every single time manifest the kingdom power with that for healing and deliverance and other things. So if you need a miracle in prayer, I'm going to ask you to walk to one of these prayer warriors who are in faith going to agree and pray for you for God's kingdom to come in whatever it is you need to be prayed over, okay? I'm just telling you, this is our faith. This is our faith. We're going to worship, and while we're worshiping, Spirit of God's moving. Would you use your voice to worship and to pray? Father, we love you. We trust you. Move us to worship. In Christ's name, amen.